5 million people didn't show up to the White Sox championship parade, man. That didn't happen. And for the Cubs to win it and the way that they won it. Look, man, 11:45, 12 o'clock at night, my heart is going like this.
It's the future. Down and distance. It's on WGNRadio.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into Down and Distance. Jared Payton here, alongside my man, Sean Davis, SD2 Mics on Twitter. I'm at Payton Sun, PAYTONSUN. We got two guests in the studio, so we're about to get this thing live.
Two power
man,
brokers.
Yeah, BC in the building, Brian Crawford on Twitter, Mr. Craw 4, the letter D, Scotty Piffin. Ah! Is that what you do, Doug?
Stay humble, dog.
Still floating,
Gino,
man.
Government name. We're not going there, dog. That's how, and I just call him Stay Humble, man. That's how we do it. We here on Down and Distance and get a chance to kind of talk about 108 years, man. It's a long time. Cubs fans have been waiting for this moment forever. And for a kid that grew up and people would always tell me that the Cubs – would never win a World Series championship. I'm 35 years old now and witness it with my own eyes and got a chance to live it. Not only just live it, but also cover working for WGN Radio and TV. And pretty special. And now to have a four-year-old who will never really understand. I mean, he'll understand as he gets older to really look back and look at the trying years. But to know that the Cubs are just really, really good. That's all he knows. It's pretty funny. But to talk about this moment, we all were here. The one thing that I thought that city would blow up, and it didn't blow up. We're still here talking about it, right? You had a chance, you know, to kind of to be there. You were the good luck charm. I looked at some of the videos of making the trek to Cleveland. What was that like?
Man, it was nothing short of magical, man. It was like you said, growing up Cubs fans, we were always told we'd never see the Cubs win. So that in itself was spectacular. But yeah, just being our first year covering the Cubs, I definitely felt like we were a good luck charm. But man, it was just really cool to be able to talk to Tom Ricketts and be able to talk to Jed Hoyer and be able to talk to Jason McLeod and be able to talk to Joe Maddon, my boy Joe Maddon. And, how could I forget Theo Epstein? And for those guys to really just, I felt like a part of the family. And that was the most important thing to me. It was like you could tell that each player had each other's backs. You could tell the Rick has created this family, this whole family vibe, man. And you could just tell by the players and the way they played. Even if you didn't actually play in the game, you felt like you contributed to the game.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was just magic, man. Like I told Terrence, my partner Terrence, shout out to Terrence, man. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have been there. But, yeah, we put our own money up. Gassed up the whips.
Yeah, man. Y'all boys out. Crisscrossed the country, man. Y'all was in L.A.
Yeah, man.
Cleveland.
Yeah, man. It was
real.
I wasn't missing it. Like I said, that was I cried a couple times because it was my Uncle Jesse, man, 1981. Come on, get my peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Go sit in the room with him right on the couch. He got his Canadian club, his old style, his squares. Nothing but baseball.
Day
nothing
baseball.
But Cubs, man. Nothing.
You know what, man? I took a lot of heat on Twitter because I made this comment. I said, you know, when the White Sox won, it was big for the city for us to have a baseball championship, right? But it didn't have that same feel as when the Cubs won because the Cubs got fans all over Chicago. Not just, I mean, obviously all over the world because of WGN, but they got fans all over the city. So, to me, just like you, man, I grew up on the South Side. My grandfather was a huge Cubs fan. We used to listen to the game. We would watch the games on TV and had a radio on and listen to Harry Carey call the games. You know what I'm saying? And it was like I wasn't a baseball fan, but I knew who he was. I knew why Ernie Banks was important. You know what I'm saying? I knew why Ron Santo was important. You know, and I understood the GOAT. I understood the Black Cat. Like, you know what I'm saying? I Cubs history was embedded into me. Right. You know what I'm saying? So for them to win, look, man, it was a win for the entire city of Chicago. It was not like when the White Sox won. 5 million people didn't show up to the White Sox championship parade, man. No. That didn't happen. Right. And for the Cubs to win it and the way that they won it. Look, man, 11:45, 12 o'clock at night, my heart is going like this.
Oh, it's different.
Straight up. Like, I'm like, now it's like, y'all got to bring it home. You know what I'm saying? I just won 108 years, man. That's a long time, man. So that was major for the city, man.
Sean, for you, I know
I want to ask you something about Game 7, the ups and downs of that game. And we talked about this a little bit, something that I think is being overlooked. The intestinal fortitude that it took. I think the unsung hero in Game 7 was
the rain.
Chapman.
No, it was the rain.
It was the rain. Yeah. But Aroldis Chapman, we talked about this. If he doesn't have the intestinal fortitude to go back out there and go through the gauntlet of Santana, Kipnis, and Lindor in that ninth inning to get it to extra innings and the rain delay, this man had just given up a home run to tie it at six.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He was already heartbroken. You could see it. And we talked about this. I don't know who else could go back out there with the momentum that the Indians had in the ninth inning and get them 1-2-3.
Right.
We talked about it. Like, as much as we love CJ, if CJ goes out there in that moment, man, we might be looking at a different story.
Yeah. Chapman was sweating waterfalls off from underneath that baseball cap, man, when he gave up that home run. Like, you could see it. It was coming down. Like, he was devastated. He didn't know what to do. He threw the same pitch four times in a row. Like, he was gassed. He was tired.
But, bro, that goes back to one of these things we talked about as well. Baseball is just one of those games where, you know, you just can't put Bron on the post and say go to work.
Go to work, yeah.
You know, everybody is a professional, man. And people don't realize, like, Rodgie Davis had shortened his swing and choked up on the bat.
You see that choker?
Yeah. He choked up so much on the bat, it looked like old school Larry Boa.
Did you see that?
And the one pitch that John Smoltz had just said it before the pitch, John Smoltz said, don't go low and in right here.
Okay.
If you didn't see
I didn't.
Watch it.
Okay.
Right before the pitch, John Smoltz said, go low and inside right here.
He had threw it three times in a row, and he was waiting on it.
What was it? The
it's slider.
Yeah.
It was a slider.
That's the thing. It's going back to your point, he is the unsung hero. This is a Biggs exclusive for you guys.
Whoa.
After the home run, Chapman comes into the dugout. He's bawling tears. Poppy, David Ross, comes up to Chapman and tells him, cut that out. We got your back, man, and we're going to win this game for you.
The OG.
So let's go even back, because that rain delay was huge for when you talked about momentum and to get them back. But to me, a guy, when we were talking earlier in the other podcast just about, you know, guys that are looked up to, their voices in the locker room. I mean, Jason Hayward.
Out of all people, right?
Yeah, for the year that he had, that the expectations of coming to Chicago and what everybody thought it was going to be a great fit, that this was going to be huge, and to struggle like he did all season long. For Joe to have his back, to always, I mean, there were certain times when he was in the lineup where people were going, what's going on here? You love him for his defense. You saw some of the great plays that he made during the series, during the whole entire postseason.
He only had, what, two hits in the World Series? One hit?
Yeah.
Was it two?
I think it was two. I think it was two. It may have been three.
Might have been three.
It was two.
Yeah. I thought his first game back he had two.
He had two hits in one
game. Okay.
For him to, in that rain delay, have his boys in that weight room, and to him the voice.
P, I'll go do.
That to
playing
me is
baseball,
that's huge.
Playing baseball, you think the NBA is petty. There's some petty dudes in baseball. I'm talking about going all the way back to Little League in high school.
Yeah.
Like, baseball can be real petty. Like, why is he out there? I think I'm better than him. I think I'm a better shortstop. I mean, you can get real petty when you're dealing with 25 guys. You talk about him being able to say what he said, but for him to struggle and for 24 other cats to actually listen to him,
yeah.
We're not talking about the dude that's going to be the MVP.
Right. It's true.
Or the guy that's supposed to be the leader in Ross or Rizzo. We're talking about a guy that had been benched in the middle of the World Series. Fans had turned on him. And this is the guy that gets in the middle of 24 other guys at the most pivotal time in the season, and they all lock in and give him that respect.
Bro,
that sells a lot about the team.
I don't know if I'd be able to do it.
Yeah, you know who else I felt good for?
Who?
Javi Baez, man. Because that man was on a roll up into the World Series, and he struggled a little bit. And then that Game 7, that bunt, I thought they had dinner, man, because I know he wanted to swing at that, man. Like,
oh, yeah, when they tried to
The squeeze play, I know he wanted to swing at that. And then he come back in extra innings, and he get the hit. I'm like,
that's because that's, man, Joe, that starts from the top.
Yeah.
Joe Going Madden back in the season.
He has the confidence in him, man.
Going back in the season, down, but the journey of Javi.
Oh, the
Let's talk about that.
The journey.
Like how Theo and Joe Madden at the right time seemed to put these guys, insert these guys at the right time.
That man finna get a street in Humboldt Park, man.
Oh, yeah.
Him and Ben, him and Zobrist were both playing infield. Javi was getting some time at the beginning of the season. He wasn't a full-time second baseman.
Right.
Like, when did that switch happen? What made it happen? Was it the maturation of Javi that Joe saw? Like, and I think at that point in time, Zobrist pretty much got bumped out to the outfield full-time. And then out, to me, the offense just kind of, like, took off, and the defense went up a whole nother level once he became the full-time second baseman.
Wait, and before you answer that, I'm not a baseball guy, but I know the second baseman is your least athletic player, right? Generally?
It depends.
Yeah,
right?
It depends. Javi's a shortstop. Javi is a baseball player. He's a utility guy.
He can play anywhere. Whatever.
Yeah.
So it started with Schwarber, obviously, when he went down. So it's like, okay, our outfield, the lineup hitting is stacked. But position-wise, it's like there was a flaw somewhere. It was like left field is the flaw. It's like, do we try Soler? We try Soler. He's still young, still trying to find himself. So, obviously, that's where, you know, we needed to figure out what we were going to do. Just so happens, Ben Zobrist, another guy.
A utility guy.
That's the best thing about the Cubs. They got five or six of those guys.
And let's not forget, I mean, you look at – that was one of the biggest things of acquiring, getting – Ben Zobrist, because that's what Joe Madden loved, to be able to know that, listen, we're going to be able. And if you watch all season long, that's what this team did. And for your – I know we talk about Rizzo as being this – being the leader and, you know, he's becoming a superstar. I totally understand that. But Chris Bryant is your that, – that's your best player.
Right, by far.
That is your best player. Right. And for your best player to be unselfish.
What are we talking about, best player offensively?
I'm just –
I debate this with people, man.
No,
I don't
I'm
think
talking
Chris
about,
Bryant is the best listen, all-around player on
who
the
you
Cubs.
Think is?
That's just my opinion.
Really?
I think
– his defense is
– Who you think is the best all-around player?
It's not even –
Dude,
that
man, let me tell you something, man. He'll tell you – I talk about this dude.
Who?
Addison Russell is Derek Jeter to me.
Listen, I love
that
love
dude,
Addy.
Man. Addison
listen,
Russell
listen,
has something listen, on him for clutch moments.
I get that.
And he's going to get better.
I get that. But Sean,
how many runs did he drive in behind Rizzo?
He's got a
90, 95?
Oh, the season? Oh, yeah.
Behind 90. Rizzo and Bryant?
Yeah.
Come on, look.
Bro.
I'm telling you.
I get that,
and
but
defense,
I'm talking about
– For him to hold off Javi as shortstop
I think it was – yeah, because there's that competition. I mean – The difference in Addy and Javi is just that simplicity versus swag.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Javi says he can't play without swag. And it's
obvious.
And he should. That's how he plays.
Back to what BC said. That's why you feel good for him, because his swag was the reason why, you know, he
almost
he
cost
two
him
a
game seven.
Yeah, he had two errors.
Yeah,
was
the, that one error was like
he
devastating.
Tried to turn his double
ball.
Play.
Yeah.
With your bare hand. No, man. Even though Addy's toss wasn't good, but.
But at that point in time, just get
just
it.
Just get the ball and get the one out. But
right.
Javi, that's the only way he plays.
Yeah.
So I feel like you. But yes, that's the difference in Addison Russell and Javi. So it's like, I feel you with Addison Russell. But Chris Bryan, man, is 6'4".
Only, yeah. This is the deal.
Oh, he's a beast.
No, no, it's not that he's not a beast. It's
oh,
not,
yeah, when he scored on the double.
Listen.
From first, yeah.
He's flying.
It's not that. To me, it's all around what he's asked to do. And I wasn't – That's how I feel. So we can all debate on who we think is the best. But my thing in watching in baseball is in other sports that you play, like I've seen it in football, where your running back, your starting running back, you don't ask him to get on kickoff return.
Okay. Right.
That doesn't happen. Right. That's the third back. If you do that, you say that to him, he's looking at you like, that's disrespectful, coach.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Like, don't even come to me with any of that.
Okay.
But for Joe to be like, listen, man, I need you in the outfield. I need you to play third. I need you to play – I mean, I'll put you on at first.
At first.
To be able to do that.
Yeah.
And unselfishly do that for your team.
Unselfish.
Unselfish. And that's what this team has been.
Baez at second base, man. That dude makes some incredible plays that get you really hyped up, man.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm talking about everybody in the stands, everybody in the dugout. Like, you see this dude do some incredible stuff.
And let's not forget – When we were talking, Sean, to your comment, I mean, about at that time where – because I just feel that Javi now moving on, he has to be – he's an everyday player.
Yeah.
I mean, he has to be. But let's not forget about what Ben Zobrist did at the beginning of the season. I mean, he was raking where you're – I mean, numbers, you're like –
yeah, he hit 400 in
what
May.
Is going – this is crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Right. And then for him to be able to go, you know what, Javi – better suited at second. You know what? I'm going to go out and play outfield. These dudes, they had something different, man.
And they all fairly young, too.
They're all young, but
it's
just
scary
to have that.
Six possible,
you know,
MVPs in your lineup.
To me,
future. It's insane.
How long do you think they're going to be good?
Hey.
5-6 years. The core guys are coming back. I don't think Dexter Fowler will be back. He deserves
We'll figure
big
out today.
Money. Yeah. Well, yeah. He's not even on the roster, though.
No, he's not on the roster.
No, he opted out. He opted out this morning.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he opted out this morning.
And if you listen to what he said up at the podium, at the parade, kind of maybe indicating what he thought as well.
I guess I'm the first one on the mic. It's nothing new. You know what they say? They say, you go, we go. So I'm going. No, thank you. Thank you, Cubs, for... Thank you, Cubs fans, for coming out. Y'all are the best in the world. Thank you for having me. Y'all are like family. Y'all are extended family to me, and I love y'all forever. Go Cubs.
You heard it's more like a goodbye.
Yeah.
You know, and I get it because the money is going to be – he's going to get his money.
He knew it. 1 year.
Wait, he signed with the Orioles, right?
He was about to.
About to.
And then I don't know who did it. They didn't say who did it, but somehow somebody persuaded him
to come back.
And he showed up at spring training. Like,
and I think that set the tone.
Yeah, 1 year. It's like, I got 1 year, man. We got 1 year to make this thing happen.
Because they got real close last year. They was right there. So you knew.
Let me tell you something that I got raked. Yeah, somebody brought this back up. I posted something on Facebook in December of 2015, right? And it was fresh off of them getting knocked out by the Mets. And I said, they got Zobrist. I think they had gotten Zobrist. And I think that was it. And I said, look, man, I don't care anything about this lineup. I don't care about this lineup. This lineup looks like the 90s Indians to me. This is not going to win a championship.
Right.
And I was adamant about that. Like this, and I think they had picked up Lackey as well.
Okay.
All right? So this guy, he screenshots the post, puts it back the day after they win the World Series. He puts it on Facebook. Facebook, like, yeah, remember this? And I said, yeah, I stand on it. And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, notice that day that I posted that, they didn't have Aroldis Chapman.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, don't get it twisted. You take him off the roster and they try to run through these playoffs without him, I don't think they win the World Series.
And so that,
I said, that's how important he was. And this is giving credit to Theo, not sitting on his laurels and saying, you know what, we good enough.
But the Yankees
I'll rock a Rondon.
Never good enough.
It wasn't like Rondon was bad.
But that was the thing. Rondy, hey, man. The whole Chappy, man. You know what it is.
And the Yankees gave him away.
But you
they
saw
didn't,
it.
Like, they didn't want him.
Because of his
Yeah, because of the situation.
Yeah.
But you know what?
That's why,
Epstein's like, yo, and this ain't never worked out for the Cowboys, but it's like Jerry Jones. It's like you take a dude with a record who can still play, mm-hmm. who can still help your team, you're going to run that risk because of the simple fact that the good always outweighs the bad.
It was a different – when the move went down, I was like, this is it right here. But then also I was thinking, it's un-Cub-like because of when you look, we talked about just the guys on this team, the culture, really, really good guys. But then I had to sit back and go, you know what? Maybe this is the best thing for him at this moment in his life that you are around really, really good guys that this you might need this. Plus, and like and you see that. Like guys that go to guys that have issues and problems, and if you go to a team that has problems with no veterans or nobody to help you, it turns into a dumpster fire.
Listen, man, in the history of sports, every team that has won a championship has a guy like that.
You got to.
And the reason
you
I
got to.
The reason I said that, because I saw Geno look at me kind of strange, my point to him was, it's not disrespectful to the Cubs. Understand the difference between the Indians not winning a championship is Jose Mesa and Aroldis Chapman. Mm-hmm. Because the Indians put Jose Mesa in position to bring it home. The everyday players in a game 7 got him to the point. If you close this out, we got the championship.
Mm-hmm.
The Cubs put Aroldis Chapman in the same position.
Yeah.
And he did it.
It was time.
He did it in game 5.
That's it.
Right?
He had to come in game 6. People are forgetting.
That was huge.
Listen, Sean, but people are forgetting about game 5. They're only thinking about game 7.
Look,
but game 5, what he did in game 5, is like that's no, that's crazy.
Right. Yeah.
He was the one that pushed this team over the top. I'm trying to tell you. That's the difference between being the Cleveland Indians
and rocking out for years and
having a lineup that's insane.
And he did it throwing straight gas.
Man.
And you see what you can kind of tell.
Unsung hero.
Those last 3 games, you kind of, I don't know, to me, it was the writing was on the wall.
The last 2 games was huge.
Like, listen, we're going to use
we're going to use you.
All the way in whatever you got.
We're going to use you up.
Because you're a rental.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not.
Thank you. That's another thing.
You're a rental.
But you understand that. Most people don't understand that he's basically a rental.
I mean,
if his arm had to come off with that last pitch,
it was coming off.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they got him for. They knew what time it was.
Yeah.
Did you feel, you and Terrence, you guys are up in the press area.
Yeah, I was.
When he comes out to get Hendricks.
I don't.
What are you feeling?
Nothing. Good job, Joe Madden.
Really?
Oh yeah.
You didn't think it was too early?
Oh no. I can't question him, man. Game 7.
I thought it was a panic move.
I know
everybody did.
But you was on Twitter. You was only one defending the move. I did see that. You was the only one defending the move.
I get that. It was.
When you got a guy,
Joe was questionable to me.
When you got a guy cruising like that,
6-7,
he wasn't cruising though. It's one game left.
I get it, but everything
that was the misconception that he was cruising.
He wasn't cruising.
I know he wasn't cruising, but everything that he talked about all season long it didn't add up to he let the pressure kind of get to him. And I get it.
No doubt.
I totally understand. It's a pressure moment, right? he's dealing with something I never had to deal with, man. That's a lot of years that's weighing on you. But I thought that Kyle was just getting, without walking, right after that walk, I thought Kyle was getting into a groove that would have been nice. And then how Lester came out, Lester was a little shaky, didn't seem like he had his stuff. Then he started getting into a groove. Then he took him out, and I'm like, dude, this is a little bit too fast for me.
Wait, he brought Chapman. It was 2-on, wasn't it? Was it 2-on, or did they have 2? I can't remember.
Was it 1-on or 2-on?
But they had, was it 2 outs?
I think there was one on.
One on.
I think it was one on.
Yeah.
Because
I thought he could have got him out.
Thirds. Lester pitched 2 in a third.
Yeah.
So they pitched 7. And then, Chappie came in with 1 on.
It was 1 on and 1 out?
1 out, yeah.
Yeah, 1 on and 1 out.
That's you got to think about it. First of all, let's start. First of all, John Lester's a starter. He won 19 games.
Yes.
So him coming out of the pen.
It's not normal.
So it's going to take him a second to
get his groove, yeah.
But let's go back to Kyle Hendricks. Now, Kyle was, I agree with you, he was smoking for 4 2/3.
He was.
But that first run, that first batter.
They should have had more runs. Cleveland.
Definitely had an opportunity.
Early.
And that's what Joe was thinking.
We
escaped the first couple innings with no runs.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do this. Let's go. All hands on deck right now. So it's like, that's
when your number get called, you got to step up.
You got to step up. That's what they told Chapman on the plane. It's like, man, we know you haven't pitched. We know you don't like coming in for more than one inning. We know you don't like to, Joe calls them dirty innings, like with a man on.
With a man on. Yeah,
but we don't care. We need you, bro. Right. And he was like.
And the road is originally came into the league as a starter.
Right.
Yeah. So, like, now just seeing the aftermath of winning the World Series, already, you know, they're already making moves.
That's baseball,
I
mean, man.
I know. You don't even get time to, like, sit and relax and enjoy. Already making moves.
It's like hockey. Like, as soon as it's over with.
Like Jason Hamill.
The
funniest
thing, JP, I swear, I was looking the day after the World Series.
In the clubhouse, Jason Hamill was to my right. And as I'm filming and pouring champagne and I look at Jason Hamill and I'm like,
You're about to be gone, brother.
I'm thinking in my head, you'll be the first one.
Yeah, you ain't gonna make it.
Damn.
And for a guy that, you know, was, I mean, you look at his
numbers. He was huge early on.
Huge. But I think the risk, because when guys and watching this team all season, he could be good, but his bad. It's really bad, which is it's scary bad.
It is.
And I think you have to kind of figure out when you got guys. And I, over watching about, you know, that bullpen and really understanding, like, Joe had a leash that was, I mean, he didn't trust nobody.
Hey, man, that's what it got, you know.
He didn't trust nobody. And to see Mike Montgomery come in and him have that confidence in him was like, okay. And I heard Buck say it on the call. He was like, talking to people from Chicago, I think this might have been after game 3. He said he's going to be. They like him. They want him to be a starter long term. Yeah. And I was like, all right,
Geno, let
Ham was gone.
Yeah, double M is definitely his turn.
3-1. You think it's over?
Nah, hell no.
I didn't think it was over.
No,
no.
He was very adamant. He was very adamant on social media about
that. It was destiny, bro. I felt it the whole time. Even the 6-0, I said. Because, you know, you can't – media, you can't act. You have to stay professional, but I'm
– Not me. It's funny. Not me. Not me on Twitter, dude.
No, I mean it around there.
Yeah, it's hard for me. I go to Bears games, and if you would see me a couple weeks at that Monday night game, I saw that run by Jordan Howard, and they tell you, like, media, please be quiet. Yeah. I jumped up. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like, hey, hold on. Nobody even looked at me.
Hey, I'm going to tell y'all. Y'all remember the Nate Robinson game in the playoffs?
Yes.
Against Brooklyn. He dropped off Brooklyn, right?
Man, I remember Scoop Jackson jumping up in the chair. Standing up in the chair when Nate went off, I was like, wow. And, you know, you got that no cheering in the press. Mm-hmm. It was lit. Like, you couldn't.
Yeah.
You become a fan because we are fans at the end of the day.
But that's the thing. It's like, I'm not ashamed to admit, you know, I'm a fan because I had my hat on in the clubhouse and they like, one of the PR guys is like, he's like, man, you know, you're really not supposed to have that on. You know, they don't really want you wearing that, like, as you're opposed to one team, you for one team as opposed to the other. And I'm like, that makes sense. But I'm like, man, I'm not hiding my fan. Like, I'm a fan of these guys. But, 3-1 BC, I was, like
was
I said,
good.
It was destiny, man. Yeah, man, it was, we were the better team. It was all about, you know how they say.
Do you think it was a lot of pressure for them to try to win in Chicago? No, win those three games in Chicago.
No, it was just win this series.
But it was.
The pressure was there. You ask them, they say, yeah, you know, the pressure was there.
It was better. I think it was better.
To be away.
Yeah.
Because I was there on that game 3 Friday night. And I walked into to Wrigleyville and. Just in the area, getting off on the red line, and the atmosphere was different. And when I walked in pregame, I'm taking pictures. You could tell the buzz was there, but the whole game was like
on edge.
Edge, and it just didn't make me. I've never felt like that in my entire life.
Yeah, because routine play. It means so much more now.
Yeah.
You know that.
The nervous energy is in the air. You feel that.
It means so much more now.
And what killed me. As I'm sitting next to my boy CJ and we're talking and I'm watching pitches and I'm down the third baseline and I'm looking at pitches and I'm like, what are you in my CJ's like, come on, bro, you can't see that angle from here, right?
Yeah.
And at home, I got so used to with the pitch cast to kind of see where everything is because that's really the only way.
Yeah.
You know, it's the only way to really
understand. Plus, the biggest thing is 108 years. Like, 108 years. Like, this is it. This is the moment, because it's baseball. You don't know if you're going to ever get back to this position again.
The amazing thing about this series, yo, I have to give a shout-out to Terry Francona and to Joe Maddon. Both managers did exactly what they needed to do to get their team to exactly where they needed to be. Terry Francona knew. He said it before game one. Kluber's going 1-4-7.
Oh, yeah.
We have to sneak one
right.
mm-hmm.
that he doesn't pitch, and we have to win every game he pitches. He knew the formula. He was like, the only way we're beating these guys is to win 1-4-7 and steal one.
Kluber was nasty in game one. He was nasty in game one.
And he just ran. Kluber just ran. He couldn't
do it.
He ran out of gas. He wasn't a Randy Johnson or Curt Schilling.
Yeah,
because I think it was Curt Schilling that did 1-4-7 for Arizona
when they Garner did too for San Francisco.
Exactly.
Yeah,
he tried to beat that horse. He just couldn't get it done.
And after,
but I think both managers knew what needed to be done, and man, put their teams in position.
Joe took a page out of Terry Francona's. He did exactly what Francona did. But like you said,
you start three times a charm, man. You see somebody, you know, he came out first outing. Was ridiculous.
Yeah,
second outing, he was good. He was good, but that third outing, it was like
he didn't have the same movement.
No, and I think guys.
Plus, you're talking about short rest too.
Yeah, we're talking about a team though that really buckled down and was like, we're gonna they figure this thing out. And that's the thing I really respect about baseball is the fact of in a series like that, you get an opportunity to kind of like break down film. In a series, in football, in basketball, you get a series. In football, it's like, man, you win. If you don't win this game, you go home.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to the Super Bowl, this is the biggest game. You don't win, you go home.
Right.
Yeah.
In a series, you get a chance. If you see somebody you know you're going to see, and I think that's the same thing with Chapman as well. Like, he was throwing gas.
Eventually.
We're going to catch this one.
Eventually, it was 97, though.
He's going to throw a softball.
It went from 101 to 97.
Yeah. 96.
And that's where, right.
Yeah.
And that's why they ended up catching up to him.
And then that was another thing. During the season, Joe would throw him in early just to get him some work because he was working on a slider. The slider came back.
Huge.
A big pitch for him in the end. Yeah. People be like, man, just throw the fastball, man. It's like, dude.
They sitting on that.
Professional athletes, man.
Yeah. Just can't throw the
fast as it go in that exit velocity.
Plus, Rajay Davis choked up 3 inches on the bat. Hey. Man.
Plus, you talking about 101. That's hard to see. But 96, you see that.
101.
You know what I'm saying?
For them?
Yeah, for them.
For them.
Yeah, no.
97,
I
need to see at least about 55.
Them 5 miles an hour make a huge difference when you standing in that box. You know what I'm saying?
Another shout out. Don't forget Kyle Schwarber, man.
Yeah, man.
That was a huge move. A huge blessing.
You didn't think he was going to play in the outfield back here, right?
Another gem, man. I knew this. I had the info a long time ago. I did the knowledge, man. I knew he was coming back in July. I would see him in the clubhouse sweating profusely. Like, man, what the hell is this dude? They're like, man, he just got through working out for 4 hours.
This off of ACL.
Yeah. He said two weeks before his first appearance, his rehab, he sat in the batter's box for 2 days just watching pitches.
Not swinging.
Just getting his eye together. 3,000 pitches in 2 days.
Wow.
So he said, man.
Put in the work.
Yeah. If he got a hold of it, you knew where it was going.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of D Rose.
Yeah.
My timing and my rhythm back, man. So huge, huge shout out.
Speaking of that, did y'all see how they tried to the D Rose and the Schwarber thing?
With the knee and how Schwarber came back and D Rose didn't come back.
That was
It was
trash.
In the midst of the World Series.
Yeah.
When they announced that he was coming back, they were like, that's how you're supposed to be there for your team, D Rose. It was huge on social media.
They heard Kyle Schwarber say he wanted to quit, and it was the toughest time of his life. And none of that, though, right?
No.
Right.
None of that came out.
Yeah. Plus, it's baseball. It's a little bit different.
All right, boys. Appreciate you, man. I appreciate both of you guys for coming out at Stay Humble on Twitter.
Before you, What's the one move that needs to be made?
Yeah, what's next?
Dex is not coming
for
back.
The Cubs?
Yeah,
Hamill's not coming back.
Jason, I think for the Cubs, Dexter Fowler. If Dex done, shout out to Dex. He was. I wasn't really. Dex is cool. I messed with Dex. Now I didn't know. I was kind of gauge him early. Dex is cool, man. Dex came through when we needed him to. Shout out to Dex. But that's all Albert Almora's junior spot.
Yeah,
in center field next year to lose, which I don't think he's a really bright spot for us next year. But the one thing we need is just to show up that fifth spot. If it's not Double M, you know, getting this, that job. I don't know about Jake. You know his agent is Scott Boras. Scott Boras is going to demand Cy Young money. Jake didn't really have a Cy Young season.
Right.
But
didn't the Cubs carry like four catches?
Three.
Yeah,
Montero, y'all heard about Miggy, right?
Is he out of here?
He was. Yeah.
Why was he mad?
But I think Miggy and
he thought he was going to be a starter, though, when he came over.
They'll be all right.
Yeah, they will. And that's another thing. One quick story about Jason Hayward. I don't know if it's true or not, but I did hear this from a viable source. So a quarter through the season, when Jason Hayward the struggle was really evident. So they say, not going to say who, but say they come down to Joe Maddon. Like, man, what's up with Jason Hayward, man? Come on. We just invested in this guy. Come on. So they say Joe Maddon then in turn goes to the hidden coach. What's up, man? What's going on over there? So now if you know Joe Maddon, he's cool, calm, collected. Say they've never heard Joe Maddon get loud or argue. So they just hear Joe Maddon and the hidden coach going back and forth about what's going on with Jason Hayward. Minutes later, Theo and Jed come down. Who knows what's said? They must be like, man, what the hell is going on with all of this? Our investment, something has to happen. Minutes later, so then they say the next day, Hayward's agent comes to the clubhouse. He talks to upper management. Later on, they say Jason Hayward is packing boxes of his stuff, cleats, gloves, balls. They say he goes out to the fans waiting outside the ballpark and starts giving his stuff away to the fans.
He thought he
was out of there. Cooler heads prevailed.
But he signed for that bag, though.
Oh, yeah, he made $18 million this year.
Yeah.
So cooler heads prevailed. We world champions. Jason Hayward gave the motivational speech.
Destiny.
And
here we go. The pressure's off of him now, too.
You have Miggy, you'll have Contreras, and then you'll have maybe Schwarber.
Maybe Schwarber.
I don't think
they want him back
catching,
there.
Catching, though, especially with that knee.
What does he play?
I was listening to Sahadev, and Sahadev said that he could maybe catch about maybe 30 games.
But then that's like we talked about earlier. There, Wilson Contreras is a utility guy. So
yeah, he can play outfield, too. Yeah.
He definitely has to work on his – defense.
His defense has
but,
to
you know,
be.
Yeah. Yeah. Rookie catcher, man. They threw him in the mix on the run. He was learning on the run. He did a really good job.
He did,
man.
You're asking a dude to do something that is, we all think is just easy.
JP,
it's not easy.
Catching.
You
just
the
even
man.
Being in the outfield,
that's
even
the
if you're not comfortable,
in baseball.
Is, to me, yeah. is a, it, that's you, a lot of, you don't think about it, man, when you're out on a, like a little baseball diamond, until you go to a park and you actually see space,
bro.
The space is man. I would have been a ridiculous center fielder, dude. I messed around and played the wrong. Yeah, dude. I played the wrong sport, dog. I played the wrong sport.
You got that range,
dude. I got range, dude. I'm still fast.
I still feel like I played the wrong sport because baseball players get that bag.
I should have got that bag, man.
They always told us in little league,
you can play till you're 40.
The quickest way to the major leagues is learning how to catch.
Really.
Quickest way to the major leagues if you can learn how to catch.
I also think that
I couldn't see
when
that
you look
ball.
At that position, it also is a fast forward to you being a coach as well. Yeah. Like I see David Ross down the line being a manager.
Oh, yeah.
Because
his
ability to know,
to see everything.
Man.
And he kept everybody calm. Like you didn't see that on the TV, but he was keeping
What a way to go out, man.
Oh yeah, best way for and yeah. Rossi.
Are you kidding me?
JP.
Hold up. First of all, he takes that bad pitch by Lester off the face. And I'm sitting here going, "Oh, dude, what is going on here right now?" And then to come back out next inning and hit a home run.
Mm-hmm.
Two. Stop.
And
man.
Then
stop.
And we did the Colorado Rockies series. Came in the clubhouse after they They may have lost. I'm not. No, they won. Because the clubhouse was upbeat. Come in there, they playing Snoop Dogg, What's My Name. David Ross was back there. Like the, he knew every single word. Now, that's neither here nor there. But
right.
That's what I gave. I said, we going all the way, man. Poppy back here singing the Snoop Dogg lyrics and got his hip-hop pass. I said, yeah.
They was always loose, though. They never seemed like they got uptight.
Nah.
At no point, especially when the pressure was the highest, it's like they really rallied around each other, and they didn't, you know, pressure could break pressure a lot of teams. Yeah,
man. When you got the horses, it's easy for Joe Madden. Not easy, but it's easier for when you got the horses, your coaching job, you can really sit back. But like you said, that game seven, man, this is the last thing I'm commenting on as far as this. If you're behind a keyboard, I don't want you questioning Joe Madden. Now, if you're another coach, okay. But how do we know more than he does? That's all I'm saying.
I say that all the time, especially in basketball.
Look, man, I just hope that the future for the Chicago Cubs, and this is coming from a Chicago White Sox fan, I just really hope that the future of the Chicago Cubs is organic. I do not want this era to be derailed by injuries, something off field. Just let it look. If another team beats them, just let them be beat.
Yeah.
But I want to see how this rides out. I'm really interested in seeing how this young core progresses.
Well, Epstein ain't never got to buy a drink or food for the rest of his life in Chicago.
I asked him, I asked Ricketts, Joe Madden, which side of the stadium do you guys want your statues on?
Straight up.
Real talk.
Straight up.
Like you
said. This was huge for Joe Madden personally.
What?
Because he always had
that under him. Yeah, yeah, the same thing you
he
said.
Had
overthinking,
failed with the Rays in big series, in the World Series. So, absolutely.
But you learn from all of that. You know what I'm saying? And he took all of them experiences in this one moment. Well, last year, too, with the Cubs. But last year and this year, he took all of that. He learned from that.
Yeah.
And he brought it home, man. You can't front on that man for that.
Yeah, I'm not.
I just think about all the people who – whose lifetimes
all day.
They lived their whole lifetime. They never That's got the to first. See this. That was the one thing that was talked about so much.
Right.
You know, you was out there, you know what I'm saying? You missing all of the commentary that we seeing.
Right.
And that's one thing everybody was talking about, their grandfathers, their uncles, their mamas, their daddies lived their whole life and never got to see. My grandfather lived his whole life and never got to see this.
My first baseball experience was throwing out the first pitch with my dad at Cubs game. It's the first baseball game that I ever went to.
Plus, shout out to D Rose and PJ, man. They gave them luck too.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that those are the pictures. I had that side by side when that happened that day.
Yeah.
And the Cubs retweeted it because it just reminded me of that time. Like the pictures of being there in the Cubs. And it also holds a special place in my heart because my dad threw out the pitch at the Cubs game before he passed. That was his. At Wrigley Field was his last public appearance.
Wow.
It was at Wrigley.
Damn.
When he was sick. So it was like they've always been good to my family. They've been good to me. I mean, I shout out to the Cubs, man. I didn't get tickets for free. I had to pay for them.
Right.
I just called over there. Like, I was thinking about calling. I just called.
Right, right.
So I just called. I was like, I didn't call. Someone called for me and was like, Jared Payton's looking for tickets. And a minute later, call back. How many does he need?
Just like that.
He's like family. How many does he need? And they were like, and I was like, he's like, he just needs two. I mean, I could have went. That's the love, just the love that they have. I've always had love for him. I'm a Chicago Bear fan at my heart. Like I want to talk Bears all the time.
All day.
Sean knows. Like from the beginning, when he first met me, we'd be doing Jared Payton show, and I'd want to do an hour just talking Bears. He'd be like, you want to get some baseball? Nah, dog.
Well, I'm glad we ain't waste that time today.
And Sean, over the time of really being, I don't know if I've ever felt invested. And I want all Chicago teams to do well. Like, it's not that I cheer for the Cubs. I want the Sox to do the same thing. Like, I want to see them win another championship. I just want to see Chicago teams do well.
Right.
But this year of covering, I might not watch every Cubs game or every Sox game, but we did highlights on every single game.
Right.
So I saw what – I mean, I lived it the entire year of every single day coming into the office being like watching video and audio, writing to it of like, oh, dang. and being upset at what the White Sox were doing and being like, you know, that slump that the Cubs went through right around the All-Star break of being upset. Like, dude, what's going on here? To watching things from the beginning of the season going, dude, this might be the Cubs and Sox for real, dude. Like, this actually might happen.
What? And you know what? One thing everybody in this room can say, we've seen all the Chicago champions, all the Chicago's professional sports teams win the championship.
Don't forget about the Sky and
well, they knew on the scene.
And don't forget my Fire. The Fire won back in the day.
Yeah, the Fire did win.
Okay.
Remember?
Yeah.
When they first started the Chicago Fire, they won, like, I think that first year here.
Wow.
So, but the Sky don't have any ships.
No, they ain't got no ships.
They just got
But they knew. But I'm talking about, like, of the major teams.
No doubt.
We've seen them all
win. City, man. You know, we carry that way.
Easy, man.
All right, man. We appreciate you, man. Stay humble on Twitter at Mr. Craw4D on Twitter, SD2Mikes on Twitter, at Peyton Sun on Twitter, BAYT1SUN. As always, Down and Distance, DAD Pod on Twitter. Go there, find all the archives of the old podcasts. And as always, man, we were here. Now we're gone. Peace.
Yeah.